Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. And we are really excited today. We have the star of the new Hallmark movie, Romance in Style, here with us. And we're so excited to get to know JC Elliott. And JC, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about this.
Yes. So we like to ask our guests to tell us a little bit about your backstory and how you got inspired to get into acting.
Well, I started acting when I was, I think like 12. They had a program in school. I mean, a lot of schools have that. I grew up in France in a small town, and they had this international school. And so the theater department was in English. And at that time, I was not very good at English. But then the cool kids were. So it sort of like, that's what sparked my interest, is I wanted to hang out, be part of that like team. And so I auditioned, and I, you know, it was kind of a thing. Everybody auditioned. I got cast as this like idiot character. It was a male. And I remember it was The Lady Killers, the play. I don't know. Have you ever seen that play?
No, I've heard of the movie.
Yeah, I had heard of the movie too, but it's an English play, and there's this one character that just doesn't speak. He just makes sounds, and that was how I started it.
Oh, wow.
And it was like a semi-professional. We would get a lot of time off of school to go and do that. It was amazing. And after high school, they were like, well, maybe you should go audition for like one of the schools in Paris, to audition for some schools. Because that was like the natural next step if you wanted to be an actor. And that sort of organically led to LA.
Yeah. So how come you don't have a French accent if you grew up in France?
So my mom's French and my dad's American. I went to an all international school from age 6 to 18. And everyone was there was, you know, half English, half French, half Irish, half American, half Scottish. I mean, we had a lot of different international friends. And I kind of, you know, learned how to have an American accent. I didn't start off with an American accent. And sometimes it comes out if I have a little too much to drink. It was a practice for me. I really wanted to get rid of the Frenchness, and then being in LA for 7 years has helped also.
Yeah, you never know. So you've done a lot of theater work then. Do you have like a favorite play or musical that you did?
You know, I like to sing, but I've never actually done a musical.
Okay.
But plays, yes, I do. I like modern plays a lot. I have worked more than once on this play called DNA by Dennis Kelly. It's a very dark humor. Have you ever read Dennis Kelly?
No, I haven't, but I feel like I've heard of it. It sounds familiar to me. Yeah.
It's fun. He's an English writer. It's modern. And it always has that sarcastic English humor, and that's a lot of fun to play with. I've directed the play, I've done the play, I've assisted, I did it actually the second year I moved to LA. I directed it in LA as well. It's a great, easy one to read.
Cool.
It's fun.
Yeah. So how did you get the role of Taryn on Grey's? What was that like experience like? Because it was your first paid role, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a pretty big role for your first.
But yeah, this was my first TV role. Mm-hmm. It was huge. Yeah, I honestly didn't. It's such a leap of faith to go in for an audition for something as big and as iconic as Grey's Anatomy that I didn't believe for 1 second that would happen.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast.
The Last Way Home is the newest novel from New York Times bestselling author Liz Johnson.
Eli Ross's return from his NHL career is met with uncertainty from the broken family he left behind, but he is determined to fix his mistakes.
Violet Donaghy isn't sure she can forgive Eli, not after his mother cared for her like her own daughter.
When Eli and Violet come together, they must find the strength to mend the broken pieces of the Ross family and to heal their own hearts.
Find more at www.lizjohnsonbooks.com.
That's lizjohnsonbooks.com. So and, you just auditioned like a kind of an ordinary audition?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. I got there. I knew they had been looking for the role for a little bit, and they were kind of on their last legs, tired of kind of casting that role and not finding anyone that they agreed on. I thought about what made me special, and I at that point I had just finished doing the play, and I was in director mode, and I don't know if you've ever directed anything, but you kind of have to be in a specific version of yourself. It just so happens that the role of Taryn is very much like that as well. She's very opinionated, and she's very directorial in the way she talks to her loved ones. It's all stemmed in love, of course, but
sure.
So I was doing that, and also I had added some Frenchness to Taryn, which eventually they took out because they wanted her to be very American. So I went in the audition, and I auditioned once, and everyone was there. It was very intimidating. Wow. I don't even remember what I did. And sort of, you know, I had been so nervous right before the audition. I remember crying a lot. and so when I got there, I was a little drained. And so I kind of didn't feel any pressure because it was, you know.
Yeah. What do you got to lose?
Right. Yeah. And it was such a long shot. And then I remember they were starting with the role like 3 or 4 days later, and a week and a half gone by and I hadn't heard anything. So I just assumed that it was, I had not gotten it. I got a call a week and a half later, I remember talking to Christopher Knopf and laughing so much, I hyperventilated.
Yeah.
And me coming out. And I think from that point on, for the first 2 years, I was in such shock that I didn't really realize what was happening and that it was all very real. And that was my experience.
Oh my gosh. So they didn't even do like a callback or anything like that. It was just the one time.
Yeah. I think they like had a hard time finding someone that they all felt filled the role, and I showed up with such a specific idea of who she was that, and with the French, I remember saying the audition was something between me and one of the doctors, and I remember like correcting them and being like no in French, and I think they just liked that. It was so different than anything we had seen. It was sort of a new option, and I think they like that.
Oh my gosh, wow. Yeah. That's so cool. So yeah, when you got that call, then you like basically had a panic attack, it sounds like.
Yeah, a two-year panic attack.
Yeah,
two-year panic. I mean I had a panic attack, but I mean I don't know if it was panic. I think it was just sheer disbelief. I was at dinner with a friend, and I was laughing a lot, which I didn't know was my reaction to big news, but I have had other big news since, and I get into this like unstoppable laughter, and that was new for me. So
yeah, how did you handle like the nerves when you actually got on set? Because I mean, that like most people, they have sort of little B jobs, you know, that, and then they finally get the big break, but it seems like you just went straight to the role and everything. That must have been very intimidating.
Yeah, you know, for a while it felt like I had skipped over a lot of what people talk about when they mm-hmm. get to LA and they have to do like all the small roles and build themselves up. And it felt like I was cheating in some sort of way, but I realized way after that it actually might have been harder because I skipped a lot of steps. There was a lot I didn't know when I started. Mm-hmm. There was a group of newbies that I was part of. And so we were all new to Grey's Anatomy. So that was a nice sort of buffer group to be mm-hmm. with. And then most of them knew what they were doing. I had no idea. but we had been on set for like 12, maybe even 16 hours. And we were all doing the doctor interviews where they go and they ask us what, like, or how. It sort of like was an interview in the show, but sort of like worked as an audition as well. I mean, it wasn't an audition, but it felt like it. And we had to go in and talk to the doctors, and then they would hire us. And I, of course, was the last one to go. Not for any specific reason, it just so happens. And so I saw everybody leaving, and I could have sort of like watched how they were working. And I got to set and I sat down in front of Richard Weber and Miranda Bailey. I don't know if you're familiar with the show, mm-hmm. But they're two of the original cast. And I was so nervous. I sat down and there was like a little bit of a silence. And so I just did my monologue. And I remember the director came out and was like, okay, that was great. Just, you know, maybe wait for me to say action. And I was like, okay, I've got a lot to learn. I was like, wow.
That's funny.
You know, you hear about it and like coming from a small town in France, like it sounds like a cliche, but it's very real. They say action. I mean, there's a reason why that. So I've come a long way. It's just, I remember that story and being very embarrassed. Everybody was laughing because fortunately for me, they all knew Christopher Knopf was really kind and extended sort of this knowledge to everyone that I had never been on a set, and that they were to like show me things if they had time. And so it's been like the most intense learning experience, but I know stuff.
Do you ever get grossed out by the fake surgeries that they have to set up?
You know, I don't. I'm a very curious person. I actually would love to go in and do real surgery. I don't think anyone should let me because I'm not a doctor. But I love it. I'm always asking like what the things are and playing with the props. And I don't get grossed out if I think about it too much. You know, there's one thing that grosses me out is when we use the Bovi. It's supposed to saw, it's not solder, but it's like it cuts through the skin supposedly with this burning tool, and that lets fumes out. And you know, when we use that, we have to use it on skin of and some kind, so we usually use like deli meats or stuff like that, and that has a specific smell that I don't like that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself. So your character has a crush on Meredith,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that must have been interesting to kind of to work with Ellen on that plot.
I mean, it's really not that hard. She's such a fantastic. She's so gorgeous, and She's been so kind to me and so sharing, like giving and generous with her experience. I mean, maybe I even had a little crush on her. I don't know, but it's really not been that hard to act that. And we've laughed about it a lot where I'll tell her like, hey, can they smell your hair in that scene or stuff like that? You know,
yeah.
I've never done it, but it's been sort of an ongoing joke. It's been fun.
So the show tackled and covered COVID pretty quickly after quarantine. What was that kind of surreal to be doing storylines with COVID so soon?
Yeah. You know, I think everyone had a really hard time during COVID. I can't even imagine being an actual nurse or medical professional during that time. But it was very weird being in, because LA was pretty bad, so we were all in a very strict quarantine. It was a little taxing to be doing the quarantine in life and also acting the pandemic on stage. It seemed like there wasn't any break between those two things. And also we were wearing a lot of like the PAPR and all of that, and that in itself, like the way it's built, it's when you're wearing the hazmat, it's very loud, and so you can't really hear people around you. It was a glimpse into what medical professionals might have felt during that time. And it was very gloomy. Yeah. But also on the other hand, I kept having this realization that we were capturing a part of our history as a world that was very, it felt important in some way. And as monotonous as it might have been to watch or to, you know, it was a whole season. I was very proud that we did go ahead and do a whole season, because the amount of time that we spent on this was sort of, I think, how it felt to us. It was endless. It's still happening. And it's not something that was just, an anecdote of like some month in our year. It's changed the world. And I think that we felt that in the show. So it felt important.
Very cool. Well, my friend is a huge Grey's Anatomy fan, and I asked her, what is a question you would like me to ask? And here's what she said. So she says, so many actors, characters die or leave on that show. I'm always curious for people who watch it and for those those on it, if they could bring back a character, even a dead one, who would they choose? There's so many to choose from.
Yeah. I love so many. I think I would say George. George is, I think, have you ever watched the show?
I've watched it for a couple seasons. It's been a while.
So you know George. He was in the early.
Right.
He was part of the cast. He was just such a heartfelt, heart-filled, sensitive, like pure soul, it felt like.
Yeah.
And the trauma that we all experience when we saw his death on television, it stays with me. I still think about it. It felt very personal to me because it was on my screen, the way it feels for everybody, I'm sure. But he was such a sweet, like, I wish we could see him interact with Meredith's kids and with the new interns, us, and the generations to come. I think he would have been a fantastic doctor, and I would have loved to work with PR. I have met him, and he's such a wonderful human, and it would have been really nice to be around him more often.
Very good. Good answer.
Hey, this is David from the Piecing It Together podcast, a podcast about movies and the movies that inspire them. For over 4 years, each week, a guest and I take a look at a new movie through the lens of what other movies we think were either an influence or connect in some other way. It's a fun, unique way to discuss films that leads to a great list of other movies to check out that either explore the same themes and ideas or maybe utilize similar filmmaking techniques. including special episodes in our side series that twist the format. We've done over 200 episodes, so there's bound to be one on a film you've been thinking about and want to dig deeper into. So check us out on all the major podcasting apps and at peacingpod.com.
So now let's talk romance and style. We have the new Hallmark movie. This is so exciting. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what it's about?
So this movie is about Ella Richards. That's my character. She's a designer in New York, and she enters a new world of this fashion magazine called The Look. And she shakes things up in the traditional way that they have or ideas that they have in that specific magazine, but also in the fashion industry. She's brings her all-inclusive body positivity nature with her, and that's sort of her thing is her whole fashion eye, and her style is about making women feel confident in their own skin by revealing their beauty, no matter what size or shape or whatever. And she does that, and through that she finds love, and she discovers herself and her confidence, and it's a fun movie. I'm really proud.
I'm excited. So how did you get the lead in this? Did they come to you, or did you audition, or how did that all work?
They came to me, and they sent me the script. And as soon as I saw body positivity, I was hooked. And the script was beautifully written. Also, it was very nuanced and had a lot of subtle messages, and I really enjoyed it from the start. And you know, from reading the script to doing the movie, everything was just a great experience. It's, you know, you're lucky if it's a good script, you're lucky if you like your co-stars, you're lucky if, but we somehow, the production, the team, the crew, everything with fashion, everything was just really fun and really in tune with that message. So it was, was really excited about doing it.
Yeah, I bet. Your first lead, alone must have been exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the cherry on top, because I like to work with people and in a collaboration. And so it was fun to lead the project. But I wanted everyone to be part of it as much as I was, in terms of ideas and input and feeling seen and heard. I think it's an important message that we put out in the movie, but it's also, for me, it was important to bring that in the making of it. And so that was, to now be doing press for it. It's sort of a cherry on top that I am enjoying a lot, but it didn't felt so much like it was just me doing my movie. It felt like we're all a very much part of a team. It was, talk about inclusiveness. It was just that to the core of it. So that was great.
Well, I'm really excited about the body positivity message. I think that it's something that I certainly as a teenager never saw people that were bigger, I never saw them having a love story. That was something I've hardly ever seen. I mean, there's a few shows like Drop Dead Diva, which I love and adore. That did it and did it well, but it is pretty rare even now.
It's very rare. I call us the mean girl generation, because we're loving Mean Girls, and it was sort of our Bible growing up. But now you see this new generation that's being infused with all this acceptance, and it's wonderful. And they're seeing that movie and they're like, no one can believe that was made and people liked it, and or not that they can't believe it, but that aspect of what we grew up sort of as an idea of what
you think of, like Shallow Hal or you know, just some of these movies that are so cringe. You're just like, oh no.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is your first time doing a romance. And so what was that like, you know, working with Ben Hollingsworth, like, just your first time being in a romantic lead?
Yeah. Ben's very easy to fall for. he's gorgeous. He's so sweet. He's really, again, like I feel like I keep getting blessed with all these amazing people in my life, but he's so generous in his experience. This is not wasn't his first Hallmark. And
he's actually even has another one this season.
I know. Yeah. Love. Yeah. He had just come off of a Hallmark actually. And so he was so kind with his experience, and we kept joking about with the cast about how it felt like we were all college friends, because from the get-go, we were all very close and felt very comfortable with each other. And Ben and I always had this like cheeky little connection, and I adore him. I adore the fact that he's such a wonderful father as well. And we talked about his wife and his wedding and his love story and, you know, my stuff. And it was, it was great to be working with him, and to, you know, we chat sometimes now on text, and he feels like an old friend.
Yeah.
It was a quick connection.
So that's how you kind of built up that chemistry, because they didn't do a chemistry read or anything like that.
No, I think they knew who they wanted. They just put us together and we sort of worked it out, but it sort of worked itself out, actually, is what happened.
Yeah.
We didn't do much for it. And it also was helped by the fact that we had such an amazing cast and of friends, of people that I love and that I went to see in Toronto after that. And like, we have a very close knit group now. So it was,
Do you have a love for fashion? Were you able to connect to your character?
Yeah. Yeah, I have never been in anything, like I've never been part of any fashion, anything, whether it's on screen as an actor or, you know, as a model or as an actress or anything. I had never done anything with fashion, really, except in my life. I buy a lot of clothes and I like to, you know, premieres and all of that. It's always a lot of fun for me to get dressed, and you know, I'm French, so maybe it's part of my DNA. I don't know. My mom's very specific about never leaving the house fully decked out in makeup and hair and jewelry. She's like sort of a grande dame. She like wears her jewelry everywhere, to bed, to the shower, whatever. She's like, you know, she's one of those. So, I was sort of a grandmothered into fashion from my grandmother and all of them, heels and stuff. I do the dress up.
Well, and you got to wear some pretty, it looks like from the trailers, you got to wear some pretty fun clothes.
Yeah.
For the movie.
We were so lucky that our wardrobe designer, Kita Alfred, such a fantastic designer, and she had a great team, and we were all, again, in the spirit of collaboration, working together to find like the most exciting versions of what we wanted to do. And she was so creative in the ways that she got this movie to be high fashion. It was fun. It was, I think there were 21 outfits for 14 days, which is a lot of changes. I was being between each scenes, I was doing makeup and hair, and which usually doesn't happen as often. And it was a bit of a challenge, but it was worth it. It looks great.
Did you get to take home any of the clothes?
I have a few memorabilias. Yeah. things that, you know, I'm very big on bringing back a few memories, I was able to snag some like some things that now like there and there, mm-hmm. That I'm very excited about. Hopefully, cool. I can wear the premiere one day.
Nice. All right. What do you hope people take away from the movie?
I've thought about that a lot because going into the movie, playing Ella, she was so certain of herself, so sure of her plus size confidence and, you know, her body positivity. And I thought about it and I thought about myself and who I wanted to show up as for people who would watch the movie. And it was important for me to kind of dissect my own relationship to it. And what I realized is that as much as I would love for body positivity to be like an all-ending sort of concept and like a forever patch on, you know, whatever self-confidence issues we might have, I realized that it's a practice. It actually isn't just an idea that you can like once reach. That's sort of an unattainable way of seeing it, I think. And I think that hopefully through watching this movie, people can get a glimpse of what that feels like and try to recreate it for themselves. I think it's important that we all find it within ourselves to just find worth in who we are instead of how we look. It's so tiring to be still judging each other on all these superficial criterias that don't serve anyone anymore. And we're slowly seeing these new perspectives kind of come up. And hopefully if people can get a glimpse of it with the movie, then they can extend it to others. Mm-hmm. And maybe that can snowball into something a little bigger and realer. It's been such a hard few years for the world that I think it's high time we all just move on from this particular mm-hmm. issue, and that we start looking inwards for the, you know, the things yeah. that really matter. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really important because, I mean, they've proven over and over again that it is possible to be healthy at every size. That's not really up for debate anymore. I mean, it's been proven time and again, but even if the goal is health, when you are unkind to people, make them feel bad about themselves, that's the last thing that makes them want to make major lifestyle changes that are effective and healthy. So if we can be positive about people and where they're at and make them feel good, then if any change needs to be made, then they're more likely to make that change.
Right. And, you know, I've had, you know, fluctuating weight mm-hmm. in my life. Even just being in LA for the last 7 years, I've gone very different sure. sizes. And I think as long as you can keep the notion of who you are and how much you matter, really, yes, health is important, but, you know, I've seen it and I've talked about it with, you know, in my family, everybody has a different relationship to their size and their weight and all of that. But overall, I was put on a diet when I was like 11 a.m. Wow. I was put on a diet when I was 11 years old. I mean, it's been part of my life
yeah.
forever. And I think what I keep coming back to is if I feel good about myself, sometimes my body follows and it just, it finds its yeah. own health. It goes through your mind. Everything goes through our mind. And I think if we're always nagging at the little things that don't work, then they're just gonna grow inside of us and take a lot more space than they need to. And mm-hmm. I'm actually, this is something that I'm very excited about in this movie, is that we don't discuss necessarily body positivity as like some kind of foreign concept. It's just what she is at the beginning is she is her full self, empowered and strong and unapologetically beautiful for her presence. And we just take it from there and we grow that. And at no point are we questioning whether or not that's a valid point. It is a valid point. It exists in the world. People know it. And what she says in the movie is that let's just, you know, graduate to this next stage of like evolution. Let's just put everything in the past.
I think that's great. I'm really looking forward to it. We'd like to take a second from this episode of the podcast to celebrate our sponsor of this episode, and that is the Hallmarkies Patreon.
Do you love Hallmarkies Podcast?
Do you want an inside scoop into what happens on the podcast?
Do you want early access to episodes and loads of cool perks?
Now is the time to become a patron of Hallmarkies Podcast.
By becoming a patron, you get to access our patron Facebook group.
You can request episodes or even be a guest on the podcast.
And most importantly, any patron can join our monthly movie watch-alongs with stars like Paul Campbell, Natalie Hall, and more.
It's as low as $2 a month to join in and become a special part of the Hallmarkies family.
Please consider, and we will love you forever.
Go to patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
That's patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
We like to end with some silly questions. So first question, what is the best ice cream flavor?
Peanut butter chocolate.
That's a good one. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Oh, good. What music are you into?
Lately, I've been listening to a lot of Bossa Nova. It calms. Okay, just as a way.
What is your go-to date night food?
I really like Italian food. Summer Italian, anything that's on a grill with a little mozzarella.
Sounds good. What's your go-to date night activity if you're gonna go do something?
I like a late movie.
Okay.
I like have dinner at home and then do facials and then maybe go at like 11 p.m. to watch a movie when no one's around.
That sounds fun.
Personal experience. Yeah.
Good. All right. Which do you like better, dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had cats most of my life, but I've always wanted a dog. So both.
Which do you like better, beaches or mountains?
Beaches.
Yeah, me too.
I grew up in the mountains, so I think that's why.
Okay. What's your favorite holiday to celebrate?
Christmas. I mean, for so many reasons, I get to go home to see my family. I have a big, big family, and we all love Christmas. Also, it's the whole season, everybody works up to it and talk about Hallmark. Everybody like watches all the Hallmarks, and it's such a it really feels like a jolly season. I mean, everybody's just so looking forward to being happy.
So you watch some Hallmark movies in France?
So they go on French time. I mean, they're shown on French television. I never realized it was Hallmark. And then when I moved to America, I have a friend of mine, we used to watch, well, we still do, we watch all Hallmark movies at Christmas time. And I thought we had created this like underground sort of tradition. Yeah. And to find out later that everyone does that. That's special, but I definitely do watch Hallmarks now, and probably in France. I don't think I ever realized they were Hallmark, and I think I might have been a fan before I was a fan. So
yeah, there you go. That's cool. That's good. All right. Well, last question: what's your favorite Hallmark or romantic movie?
Romance and Style.
You can say that.
Yeah. I've watched so many, it's hard to say. I do like the Christmas ones. Like it's a season. I would call it, I would say my favorite is the Hallmark season. Yeah. I've seen so many. I mean, they all bring me so much joy. Yeah. It's like hard
to pick. Very good. You answer all the questions. Thank you so much for talking with us. This was great. Really looking forward to the movie. And so do you have social media or anything like that you want to share?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I will be watching the movie. While I'm watching the movie, you can tweet and it's hashtag romance and style, or you can tweet at me directly at JC Elliott.
Great. Well, very good. Well, thanks so much. And we appreciate you taking time to talk with us, and good luck on all your projects. Hopefully it's the first of many for Hallmark.
Yes, hopefully.
We'd like to thank JC for coming on the podcast. That was so much fun. And we had a lot of technical issues, so I really appreciate her patience. And I hope y'all enjoyed the interview. You can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. Also, make sure you're following the podcast, Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, and let us know what you think of all the things that we talked about. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews, 5 stars. It really helps us a lot. And if you are listening and watching on YouTube, please give the video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. We also have our Patreon group and merch store, which we would love your support. And thanks so much, everybody. And thanks to JC. We'll talk to y'all later. Bye.